Chapter 6. It was late in the afternoon when Ron started home. He was tired, but his body was aching for a run. There would be no time today, and he had not yet found a new gym since their move. The drive was an easy one, down to the highway and west, and then a turnoff and north. The Nissan cruised, and Ron was listening to the radio, smoking a cigarette and trying to let the day wash out of him. A run would do that, but there just wasn't enough time. The greens of summer were being replaced by the astounding colors of autumn. The air was far from dirty at Oak Mountain, but this air had a cleaner, fresher scent. The sunroof was down, the windows were open. The tension was beginning to fade. Ron smiled when he saw his new house ahead on the road. It sat mostly camouflaged by bushes and trees, and it looked so much smaller than it was. He liked that. His house was the only one on the road. Across the small turn into his driveway were trees, and in front of him, a real city block away, was the lake. His property went down to the lake. Celeste's car was sitting in the driveway. He had found a two-door Mitsubishi and suggested that they buy it for her. She was so happy she almost squealed. Ron stared at the rear end of the car and thought about his wife's bottom. He laughed to himself over how one thing could remind him of another. Celeste had owned sports cars. She had owned fast cars. She loved them. But their finances and the reality of having a child had reduced her motoring choices to reliable and clunky. Secretly, she despised reliable and clunky, but the ever-ready aspect of reliable and the loading and unloading advantages of clunky had worn her down. This sleek new blue Mitsubishi was a step back in an old direction, and Celeste felt love for a car rekindled in her. When he got out of the car, Ron felt dazzled. In front of him was his barn. He had never even dreamed of owning a barn. He had slept in them. The mystery of what had been left there and for how long and by what previous occupants who just did not move everything out intrigued him like a mystery novel. To the right was his lake, a medium-sized body of water, a little too small for waves, but large enough for a sailboat. It made him smile. He longed to see the changes that it would bring with the seasons. The foundation of the house was all fieldstone. He always wanted to touch it when he saw it. He wondered what would happen if he washed it. Would it be like wood that revealed its secrets of grain under a sanding? He smiled again, entered the basement. On the inside, he was greeted with the continuation of the fieldstone wall that he always wanted to touch. An old doorway had been cut into it. That led back into a tiny four-room enclosure that begged investigation, but also held the powering equipment for the house. Ron was intimidated by those strange contraptions. He'd never paid any attention in his parents' home. They had leaks in the basement, was all he knew, and he would brush the water down the drain. But this was now his responsibility. Celeste came down here to do laundry. It had to be safe. People all came in this entrance. It shouldn't look ratty. He needed to learn. Ron shook his head and started up the stone-lined, magically and beautifully on both sides now, carpeted flight of stairs that led up to the living room. It was all wood and glass and stone. It was huge and had a cathedral ceiling that was supported by two old hand-hewn beams taken from some older place that had contributed their strength and the beauty of their survival marks to a new decorative function. Ron was out of his jacket the moment he hit the top of the stairs. His tie had been taken off and stashed in his jacket pocket during the ride. He could see a partial outline of her form from the top of the stairs. She was still wearing her shoes and the jacket to her suit. Ron grinned. She always needed to wait. "Hi," they both said it at the same time. They stopped and embraced. The smile on each of their faces was deep, and they felt each other's bodies. How they fit after so many years together was just instant communication now. The kiss was warm and not in a tempo that either of them had used all day. Their kisses had a demanding tempo that just took over. "You feel so good," she said. He just smiled and squeezed that magnificent bottom of hers, kissed her again. "Where's Angel?" "I don't know. Her car isn't here. There's no note, no message." Ron nodded. He wasn't surprised. She was at school. She was doing well. Things were better now. If Angel could come through this and be doing well, he would see one of the greater comebacks from a nightmare of a childhood and middle adolescence than he had ever thought possible. He was sure all in and rooting for it. But he just couldn't trust it yet. But there was hope and some success. "There's just so much to do here, Sel. Every place I look, I see a project. This place is just amazing." Celeste stared back into the kitchen. "I can't stop looking out the windows. One wall of the oddly shaped, elongated L of a kitchen was windows that also looked out on their lake." They both stopped for a second to look out. "I need to get out of these clothes," said Ron. Celeste had a secretly naughty thought and wanted to say, "Let me help you," but she was cooking dinner, and so she just grinned and gave the pot a stir.